Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it looks like a bunch of our crew slept in this morning. They probably had to stay up late last night and watch that come down. I don't know if you noticed, it comes down every year in Times Square. That thing comes down. It every year comes down. And then it goes another 365 days, and we sit in our living rooms and we watch it come down. Hey, I was in bed about 9:15 last night. I asked Michelle, I said, if I go to sleep, will New Year's get here? Will it still be New Year's if I get here? And she agreed that it was. And so I couldn't wait to get to sleep so I could get up and do this show. That's really where I am with it. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Whatever it is we're supposed to be saying this time of year, welcome. It is 2020. Perfect vision. Open our eyes. I was thinking before I came down here this morning. Football coaches do a lot of self-evaluation, a lot of it. In fact, you probably don't know this, but after a football game, a good coach sits down and not only checks out what he did against the opponent that week. Let's say you played the game on Friday night. Saturday, you're watching the film and breaking down what the other team did to you because they exposed your weaknesses. They're showing you a lot of things about it. And a good football coach is in constant self-evaluation. Are we getting better or are we not getting better? And if we are not getting better, why are we not getting better? Because our job is to get better. What's going on here? And the easiest thing to do as a human being, all of us, and this is what I think we deal with a lot, the easiest thing to do is to, what's Randy's fault? Well, look at Randy. If Randy was doing a better job, if Randy would have just gotten that block, heck, we'd have got Randy. Look at Mike over there. Mike, well, listen, dude. Randy ain't blocking. You're the coach. Why ain't he blocking? It ain't Randy's fault. It's your fault. Self-evaluation. When the team loses, there's a reason why the team lost. And sometimes you can look at it and say, you know what? We played great. Those other guys, they were just better. Or how about this one? We can blame the refs. Blame the government. It's the government. Blame the refs. Yeah, well, I've never played in a football game where there weren't refs. They're there every game. And you got to, when they blow that whistle and they throw that flag, they are the judge, jury, and executioner. So you got to figure out this is the way it's going to be. How am I going to navigate through this swamp with these hometown referees, right? And so I'm doing self-evaluation. I was doing a lot of it this morning. It's just as an assessment of 2019 and where we're going in 2020. I heard that, Lord. Boy, that was profound. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out where I'm going in 2020. And the truth of it is, you're all thinking where you're going in 2020. But there ain't none of us going to get very far if we don't go together. None of us. And I hate to start off on, it's 2020. All hope springs eternal. Everything's new. I was thinking today as I get up in the morning, I get before the Lord, and then I do some research, and I let the Lord kind of direct me where we're going to go with this program. And, you know, 2020, New Year's Eve, is a time of reflection. You look over your shoulder, old land, should old acquaintance be that? And so it's New Year's Eve is a look back. Folks, it ain't a look forward. Come on, it isn't. New Year's Eve is always a look back. Well, we need to change our vision. We need to have a look forward. And I'm looking at what I see going on in the culture to society. God, I don't want to be negative. I don't want people to say, I can't listen to that guy. He's so negative. My daughter actually said something to me the other day about, I made a comment. She said, Dad, you're negative sometimes. That's not negative. It's the reality. It's the reality. How would you explain to somebody if walked into the, you're laying in the hospital. My brother's in the hospital, by the way. My brother Dan went in for some kidney issues yesterday. So we'll just be with Dan. The doctor comes walking in, says, gee, I hate to tell you this, but you've got terminal. What you got's terminal. So, do you ever turn to the doctor and say, you're so negative? Every time I come here, you're pointing out one. You never come and tell me how good I look. You never tell me. You're always pointing out the negative. I said, I'm not pointing out the negative. I'm trying to analyze what's going on so we can get prepared and overcome it. And I was sucking on my thumb as we go into 2020. It's always been my nature. The Bible says that the shepherd goes after the one, And it's so easy for me to get up in the morning, come and do this show, go over here and check in the queue. Like right now, I go over. Bear with me a second, all right? I check in the queue, and I'm not kidding you. This is the way my mind works. As I scroll down the queue, I look at who's missing. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? Except when you get up in the morning, this is better. When you're in a huddle and you're the quarterback in the huddle, you count the players. I always told our quarterback, listen, count the players. It's a simple thing to do. Count the players. Are there 11 guys in the huddle? Don't break the huddle if there aren't 11 of you in there. And so I come every day and I'm checking who's in the huddle. And I think, well, where's he? Where's he? What happened to him? Where's he been? And I look at the enemy, how organized and committed the enemy is. And I ask myself, self, how can you put a team together if guys don't even come to practice the next day? They're no longer, they're now in the stands watching the game. Or they're, better yet, over here playing their own game. And the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. What? Ooh, sorry, Lord. Ooh, I heard that one. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. And we don't do that, see? We don't do it. Somebody gets butt hurt and they go do their own thing. How could the Cleveland Browns, they fired the football coach, Freddie Kitchens, who probably should have never been, he should never have been the coach. But, you know, the Cleveland Browns fired Freddie Kitchens because they had great talent. They said, well, yeah, they say they had great talent. People always say that. But they never got him to play as a team. They never got him to play as a team. And you hear guys who were in that locker room and they really liked Freddie and they really liked each other, but they said, you know what? There's something missing. We never played as a team. Cost Freddie his job. How's our team doing? Could some of you name right now some guys who, excuse me, used to be on the team? Where are they? Don't mention any names. You know, where are they? Oh, they're playing on their own team. They didn't like the play the coach called, so they started their own team. They're playing like a little kid. When I was a little kid, I used to go to the high school game and started my own game behind the bleachers. Did anybody else do that? Did anybody else, when you were a kid, go to the high school football game and get a group of guys behind the bleachers and played your own game? I'm waiting. Somebody tell me. Did anybody do that? Is that the only guy that did that?
All the time, Coach.
Yep.
I did every time.
Yep. You know what we got going on? We got a lot of guys playing behind the bleachers. Now, it might be a real game to them. I mean, it might be. Or maybe they've moved on. But wouldn't you think instead of just saying, hey, I ain't come, instead of just not coming to practice anymore, wouldn't you think they would say, hey, listen, sorry. Hey, Coach, I'm playing on this team over here. Cool. How about doing this? How about assembling that team with us? Will you bring all those friends that you're working with over there, bring them here so we can all assemble? That's what I would. Hey, you want to go down to Virginia? Let's go down to Virginia, down to that gun rally, and let's take our team with us, and let's do this. Let's go down there as a team and let's try to assemble with other teams. Let's see if there aren't other teams that are walking down there. And we go down there and we see, for instance, we go down there and we're wearing our shirts and our hats and we go down there and we stand out. We look like a group and people are looking at us wondering what group are. I'm going to promise you, there's going to be other groups. There's going to be other guys with hats and shirts. They're not going to be like ours. They're going to be others, but they're on our team. And when we go down there, we shouldn't be afraid of that team. We should work with that team. Hey, we should go around and hand out cards and talk to us. Oh, yeah, what do you guys do? Oh, yeah? Well, okay, any chance we could come together? Can we exchange cards here? Can we work together on this? Because until we come together, boys and girls, I'm telling you, we're not going to win. The Bible says that where there is unity, God commands the blessing, and we are losing the battle because we're not unified at all. At all. I said to Michelle when I got up this morning, well, I didn't say it. I was thinking it. She was still... Our granddaughter stayed, the littlest one stayed with us last night for the first time. So Michelle was busy being a grandma. And I said, golly, this is an amazing thing. How long have I been doing this show? I think almost 4 years. Is that right, Jared? I think it's almost four. Maybe it's either almost four or almost five. I've been doing it a long time. 4 years. Coming up January 25th, I think it's going to be our fourth year anniversary. And I was thinking to myself, I said, you know what? If I would have sat down when I first started that show, and I wrote down the name of every my top five players. And what year is this, Jared? 2016, my top five players were here. I know I can count on him. I know I can count on him. I know I can count on him. Okay, boom, 2016. 2017, make a new list. Do that with this guy, put that this guy, and then 2018, you get it, right? And as I sit here in 2020, I'm going to tell you something. The guys who I thought would be my A team back in 2016, they're not even on the team anymore. They're not even on the team. They say, well, coach, you said something that irritated them. Well, too bad. Who are you playing with now? You got a team? Bring your team. Hey, listen, you be the captain of your own team. God bless you. Bring your team and we'll work together. I don't have to be I don't have to be head of it. It doesn't matter. Well, tell me, what is it your team's doing? And is there any way that we can play together? Listen, folks, this is really serious. This is really, really serious. We're just running in mud if we think we're making any progress when guys who were on our team drop off. And I would just say to you out there, if you got your own team, hey, how about connecting with us and tell us what your team's doing so we can play together? You bring your team and you bring your team. But I know this, they don't have a team. They got them and maybe a buddy. And that's it. So I'm not trying to, okay. I'm not doing this. It's not that. I'm looking into films. It's like we traded five guys and didn't get anything in return. Player to be named later. And that player didn't get named later. Didn't come. And we're running into time, boys and girls, where this ain't going to be beanbag anymore. I'm telling you, this ain't going to be beanbag. Come on in, Dale.
Well, Coach, as a compliment to you, just like whether a high school or college, even professional, these players, some of them come and go, but they remember because you make them better players. I know you, Coach, I see what's happening, the transition of these people. And so God will put other players on your team, yes, and you just keep being a coach and you keep grooming these guys to being better. And you play with the team that God has handed you, brother, and you'll have good victory.
Amen, Dale. Amen. But just, listen, folks, don't miss this. Because, man, could I rattle off some players that are on the team now? Oh, my goodness, what great. Woo, we got some great players. We picked up Randy Lunsford and a player to be named later. Where did Randy – I don't know where he came from. We picked up Joseph Allen. Where the heck did Joseph Allen come from? Are you kidding me? We picked him up. I could run down through the list, okay? Of people that we picked up. But remember, a shepherd always is worried about the one he lost. Where is that guy? Where's that nose man? God, we need that nose man. We had one. Where is he? You with me, folks? That's my heart. If you think I'm worried about people following me, you don't even know me. And I was so blessed that, because we're going to go to Virginia on January 20th regarding this whole gun issue. And I was so blessed yesterday. last 2 days, actually. I got four guys who are working on that event. I don't even have to deal with it. So I'll do it, coach. I'll do it. By the way, it's the way the team's supposed to operate. So I'll work on that. And so if you got a plan, something that you would like to do, I've said this over and over and over and over and over. You got a plan, I'm going to come play with you. I'll come play on your team. You put the plan together, I'll come and play. You know, I don't have to call the plays, but I'll try to bring some players with me. I'll try to round up some players. Sad thing is, we used to have more. But then you ask yourself, well, if they're not here, do you want them? That's the question, isn't it? Is it good to find out now that they had another agenda? Oh, somebody's getting mad. I feel it. I don't care. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm sorry. I'm top of my wire here. I'm just telling you the truth. We're like denominations. Huh? Like denominations. I don't like what Coach said about this. I don't like what he said about that. So I'm going to go over here and I'm going to be on this team. Okay. Well, how about doing me a favor? Tell me that you wanted to be traded. Okay. See, I want to be traded. Because you know what? I was just getting ready to throw you the ball. And the next thing I know, you're playing for the Indianapolis Colts. I didn't know it. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about there? I guess this is a 2020 venting.
Coach?
Yep.
That shepherd that goes and finds, normally that sheep, he's always wandering off. You know what that shepherd did when he found that sheep, right? He broke his leg. That's when you see the... Listen, when you see the illustration where Jesus is carrying the sheep over his shoulder, yeah. It's because he breaks the sheep's leg to bring him back to the flock. He mends the sheep, and the sheep never leaves his side again. See, the problem with a lot of people when they leave, or they leave on bad reasons, and you go to correct them, that's the problem. They don't want to be corrected. They're ornery sheep. They're ornery.
Yeah. That's right. I put down in my notes today, here's really what it is, my friends. It's love of self. At the very, very bottom of it, it's love of self. And I was watching Mike Heath's show today, and he showed again the video of that shooting in the church. And I'm not being critical of anybody, because if somebody comes in my door and starts shooting, I'm probably hitting the deck, unless I feel an obligation to rescue my children and grandchildren. I'm not going to jump under the desk, right? But what we saw on display in the shooting in that church was love of self. The first reaction we all have is protection of self, love of self. And Jesus told us that greater love has no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Why? Why is that the greatest example of love? Because that is so fighting human nature. Human nature is self-preservation and self-love. That is human nature. Christian nature is love of others. And somehow in Christianity, we've tried to bring in love of self in with love of our neighbor. That's the conflict. I fight it all the time. I just love myself too much. So do you, if you admit it. So do you. So we're coming into a time, we love ourselves too much. I said that, didn't I? We're coming into a time, boys and girls, where I believe a year from today, this is not a word from the Lord, this is a word from I say it. Just what I feel. A year from today, there will be many Americans dead who never dreamed they'd be dead. From something they never thought was going to happen. Now, I'm not talking about a car accident. I'm not talking about dropping over, having a heart attack. I'm talking about something happening in the world that is going to be cataclysmic, and we have no idea. And after it happens, we're all going to sit around and say, boy, I saw that coming. Man, well, do you see it coming now? And if you see it coming now, what are we going to do? Or do we just sit there and wait for it to come? Hide my closet. I'd rather there be a good corner. I can hunker down right over there and wait for the rapture. I think that's what I'll do. See, that's love of self. Rapture is love of self. Say, no, it's not. Coach, it's love of the Lord. No, it isn't. It's love of self. And that's the hardest thing for us all to get over. It is inbred in each and every one of us. Yeah, I do love me too. I love me. I fight it every day. But where we're going, it's going to take self-sacrifice, boys and girls. It ain't going to take love of self. Yeah. Like I heard, said to one of our football players one time I was coaching, I said, hey, anybody interested in loving on Tim over here? You don't have to do that. That job's already taken. Tim's already got that job occupied. You want to do something else? Love on somebody else. He's got that love of self covered. And that's where we are. That's where we are. Somebody come on in here. Happy New Year. Really, that's what I'm feeling. I'm not happy. See, I didn't sit up and sing Auld Lang Syne. I'm looking forward. 2020 vision. We turned the page. Let's go. Closer to the battle. Let's go do it. But we're not equipped and we're not. If we had to go to battle today, we would get our behinds kicked. You know it and I know it. And all you got to do is look here in the queue of those who used to be with us and aren't with us. And why? So maybe that's a good job description for all of you here in the queue. Maybe you ought to pick up the phone and call one of those guys. Say, hey, what's going on? Who are you gathering with? Who are you assembling with? Oh, I don't know, man. I can't find anybody. I just can't do it. Okay. Well, good luck, lone wolf. Good luck. Because it's not the way it's supposed to work. Somebody come on in. Help me out here today. I got some good stuff, but go ahead. Not that this isn't good.
Hey, Coach, I got a point here that'll go along with that. It's, you know, when Jesus asked him, you know, Peter, when he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, and we go after that. Well, then he turns around and he says he's got to go to the cross. And then Peter steps up like he's a big, tough guy.
No way, man. You ain't doing that. That's right.
And yeah. And guess what Jesus said? He says, okay, we know he says, okay, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. It's Matthew 16:23. But here's what I want to point out, Coach. This is a good point, I think. He says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of. He's talking to Peter, but he's talking to Satan too. Look, and he says, "You are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Now, just keep going. This is the context. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." See, Peter thought he was helping Jesus out by being a big, tough guy, but it's all about him. It wasn't Jesus' agenda. It was Peter's agenda.
Pull that up there, Jared. Randy, where are you there? Because it's in Luke.
Matthew 16:24. But, and then he says, Coach, this is all the context here. And he says, now, if you really want to find life, you've got to lose that one. For whosoever shall save his life, his psyche, that's where we get psychology from, psych. Whoever will save that one loses my life. Yeah. And whosoever will give up that self life, that me life, you're going to find my life. And so, Randy, born again, Coach. This isn't born again experience. That's not what it's. This is not what
we're beyond that. That's right. We're beyond that.
Yes, sir.
So I'm thinking about again. I hate to keep using the example of the Cleveland Browns, but Monday was all the coaches got fired on Monday. Season was over. All the coaches got fired, and then you begin to look at the list of coaches. They're trying to find a replacement coach. You guys with me? And this name comes up, and this guy's 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 name comes up. And see, they don't understand that every name that they're bringing up is a guy that who is now a potential head coach because he's been part of a successful organization. Not that he's the whole meat and potatoes, but he's been part of this group that's been successful. He knows how to put a group of guys together. Why can't the Cleveland Browns win? They don't have anybody to put them together. That's what they're looking at. It's not X's and O's and this play and that play. It's putting a team together. Guys, it's one of the hardest things in the world to do. Why? Randy, because we love ourselves too much. It's right there. It's right there. Peter said, in Luke, I think, Peter said, I'll never leave you. You kidding me? Where is that, Jared? Let me find that real quick. Somebody know where that is real quickly in Luke. It's Luke 12, Luke 20. I'll have it here in a second. I use the scripture a lot when I preach. Luke, come on, coach. Come on, coach. Luke, boy, Dan would always throw that right up there for me. I can't believe it. 20. Luke 20, is that what it is? Luke 20?
22.
Luke 22?
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. Thank you. Luke 22. Let's go there, Jared. Pardon, I got a little frog today. Ribbit. Luke 22. Wow. Go back up. I just had some. Jared, scroll back up. Boy, something just jumped at me. Wow, watch this. Now, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread drew near, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him because they feared the people. Who did? Church. Chief scribes and Pharisees. They're afraid. Government officials, they're afraid of the people. Look, verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas. What? Satan entered into him? Wow. So he went his way and he went and he found another team to play with. He communed with the chief priests and captains, and he went and assembled himself with them. And they figured out how Jesus didn't have it right. They had a better way to do it. And by the way, hey, listen, if you'll come with us, Judas, you can start your own team. And then you can be head of it and you can make all the decisions. And said, here, in fact, we'll give you a little bit of money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. And then came the day of the unleavened bread when the Passover was over. And he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us Passover. We may eat it. Go on down, Jared. I'm going to go down to verse 20. There we go. And he took the bread, gave thanks. 20. I think it's 20 maybe. Met them all together. And then likewise after the cup, saying, this cup, new covenant, blah, 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 behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me. Truly, Son of Man goeth as betrayed. And they began to talk about themselves. Well, what team are you playing on? I'm part of the Salt and Light Brigade. Well, I am. But you know what? That coach likes Trump, and I'm not really a big Trump fan, you know? Jesus stopped him. He said, guys, golly, quit it. Will you guys quit it? Quit it. Gentiles exercise lordship over them. They exercise authority, and you serve one another, he says. Come on, man, it's about serving one. Who's greater, he that sits at the table where all the big guys are, the one who brings it? He says, I came to you. I'm a servant. I could be the king, but I'm at the servant. You are, look at this. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations. In other words, you guys have been with me all these whole 3 years. We're 3 years into this thing, and you guys still are backbiting and nibbling at each other? 3 years? I'm getting ready to go get hung up on a tree. You guys are still arguing over what you're going to get out of it. He says, stop it. And verse 31, he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired that he might have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith not fail. And when you are converted, I can preach right there, strengthen your brother. And he said unto him, Lord, are you kidding me? Huh? I'm ready to go with you into prison and death. Are you kidding me? And Jesus said, let me tell you something, there, big boy. Before that rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times today that you even know who I am. Because Peter, remember this, was the first one who had the revelation of who Jesus was. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so here was the guy closest to Jesus. And he was wavering. Not wavering, but arrogant. Am I making sense here? Randy, is anybody, is this making sense?
Absolutely, Jared, Coach.
Jared, yeah. Hang on a second, Dale. Just a second. Because Jared said something to me too at the beginning of the show. I was kind of jabbering about this. Jared said, you know, that's one thing about the Marines, about the military. They ain't no messing around. They teach people to go kill people or whatever it is, and they do it. They do it. Why can't the body of Christ be like that? Why do we have – go ahead, Dale.
Well, Coach, I mean, what you're saying is paralleling to 1 Corinthians 12:18, where it is, says, Paul is writing, he says, it is the Lord who plants us into the body as he sees fit. You answered it. You know, people saying, oh, Coach, he likes Trump, blah, 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 blah. See, the problem is that you're never going to like everything that everybody does, and that's fine. But if God has planted you here, it's like the football player. The football player has an agent. And the agent's whispering into the player's ear, hey, you go play over here. I'll get you more money. I'll get you more fame. And mm-hmm. I'm telling you, but if God, see, they're not listening to God. When God plants you into with Coach, it's not your job to leave. If a person leaves, I believe that the proper way to leave in a church is because God is moving you into a different realm or a bigger position or something. And I'm fine with that. As a pastor, I know, Coach, they leave. And 99% of them, brother, when they leave, man, they become nothing. They sit on their hands. They do nothing for the kingdom of God because they're not listening to God.
Dale, that is my point. I don't care if they go play on another team. What is that team that you're on? And is there any way this new team that you're on can work together with our team? Can we assemble our teams together and work together? But it's not. It's like Dale, they're on a different team that's also vying to get in the playoffs. And they want to get in the playoffs. And in order for them to get in the playoffs, they've got to finish higher than us. I guess. I don't know. Or I could tell you a lot of them who, I guess they're on the team, but they must be on the bench.
Judas Iscariot, what did it happen? Satan came into him. Satan was his agent. God wasn't. He was listening to another voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and another voice they won't follow.
I want y'all to understand this. These are good people. And I'm not saying they're not good people, okay? I'm not saying that. Hey, Dale, yes or no? Was Peter a good people? Was Peter a pretty good high-level guy?
Yep.
he was right? He was missing it. He said, no, hey, Lord, listen, I want to do it this way. I heard what you said, but we're going to do it this way, Lord. Lord, you're missing it right here. You know, if we spend a little bit more time on this, some of this wouldn't be going on. I'm going to go over here and work on this, Lord. See, that's what they got us doing, right? They have us doing.
Coach, it's about being under authority. It's mm-hmm. about submitting to authority. Jared, what he brought up with the military. You don't, it's not about your agenda anymore. It's about the agenda of the higher authority. And for instance, the centurion, when he came to Jesus and he said, I've got a servant that's sick. And Jesus said, well, okay, what do you want me to come? He goes, no, you don't need to come. No, just speak the yep. word. I understand authority. I'm a man under authority. And Jesus looked at him and he said, wow, I've never seen anything like this in Israel. Oh, man, I've never right. seen greater faith. There's something about being under God's authority down the chain. If you're down here at the bottom, so what? You understand the authority God has placed over you and you submit to it.
Amen. You know, amen.
I've heard a couple of times now the phrase, I know better than Jesus, or I know better than the Bible, or in this morning's discourse as it goes along. And that is exactly whether people are saying, you know, whether a pastor says, I know better than Jesus, his words don't really count. What he does displays what he thinks about that. For example, the bunch of little kids were around Jesus when he was doing ministry one time, and the disciples said, hey, let us chase these kids, you know, get away, kids. And Jesus says, no, let them come, let them be around. And yet, all these pastors say, no, we've got to build a separate place for the kids.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
See, they know better than Jesus. Jesus knew what was good for the kids. The pastors know what they think is good for them.
Amen. Amen, Larry. Now, listen, I'm going to say this. This is 2020 air, clearing the air, okay? Let's clear the air here a little bit. I love what Larry does. Stab, I think it's a great thing. I support what Larry does. But I am not going to make Past Assault Ministries Stab. Not going to do it. Just not. I'm going to point everybody to Stab, but I'm not going to be Stab. And I love what JR does with Natural Family Foundation. I love what he does, but I'm not going to make Past Assault Natural Family Foundation. I'm not going to do that. Now, if JR wants to organize some events, I'm coming, man. I'll come and play with you. But listen. I love Jeff Klein and his gathering in the garage. I love that. But I ain't picking it up. I'm not going to make that number one on my list. I love what Bobby Lee's doing. I love it. But I ain't making that number one on my list. I'm sorry. Just not going to do that. I'll come and help. You got something organized? I'll drive guys to you. I made conduit through which we're going to. And then some guys get mad. I'm not casting aspersion at you, Larry, or JR, or anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Some guys get mad because they don't like the play I'm running. If you just ran this play. Hey, run your play. I'll come and help. Don't expect me to be your quarterback. Fair enough? Fair enough? Somebody out there. Somebody, come on. Is that fair enough?
It's called a jamboree, right, Coach? Teams from all over the nation come and get together, and guess what they do? They play football, and it's an incredible time of fellowship.
Amen. Amen. Hey, you know what I'm going to do next week? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Maine, state of Maine. I'm going to go up there with Bob Roy and Jack and some of those guys up there, and I'm going to – they called a play.
Yahoo!
They called a play. And they said, Coach, we got a play. Can you come? I said, yeah. In fact, I'll try to bring some others with me, but yeah, I'll come. They didn't call me and say, hey, Coach, will you organize an event up here in Maine? I say, no, you organize one and I'll drive people to it. I'm not organizing going on down in Richmond, Virginia. Somebody is, and I'm going to drive people there. But it ain't my, am I making sense here? Well, I for the life of me, I got an email yesterday from a guy named Larry Richardson. He said, I'll be there. Say what you want. I know Stab is Larry's heart, but Larry always plays with the rest of us. Always does. Always does. Always. So, you know why the Browns lost? You know why Freddie lost his job? Because he didn't talk to his team the way I'm talking to you. That's why. He said, you're the best player on your team, but it's your team. That's the problem. Unfortunately, you ain't in charge here. I'm in charge, and we're not running that play because somebody has to be the coach. Somebody has to call the play. I'm actually in a great mood. I really am. I got to hug my little grandbaby when I got up this morning. My frustration is so high because we ought to be killing. By killing, I mean, you ever watch a football game when some guy gets ahead, then one team gets way ahead, they say, man, they're killing them. We ought to be killing the opposition. And we're not killing the opposition. We're not. And it's great, great frustration on my part. Now, I want to say this for anybody out there listening so that you know, I'm going to go to Richmond, Virginia, and I'm going to be part of that thing is being organized down there. But I want you to know this. I am not going and open carrying a big gun. I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. To me, that doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything. If you have a concealed carry and you want to pack when you come down there, God bless you, you have the right to do that. But I'm not putting together a bunch of guys with hats and shirts on and carrying guns. That's the last image I want us to have. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm going to do? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to find out if there aren't some other guys who are already playing on the game who maybe would come and be part of our team. Or maybe we could go and be part of their team. Maybe somehow we could bring the two teams together against our common foe. Maybe we could do that. Maybe there'll be some men down there. I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but I've been telling you for 4 years that the pushback in America was coming from the NASCAR crowd. wasn't coming from the church. It wasn't coming from those Christian boys in the church. No, no. The pushback was going to come from some place that we never thought it would be, and it would be the NASCAR crowd, the good old boys. And you know what's going to be shocking to them? Here's what I think. This is my vision. I think that the world will be turned on side its head when they see 20, 25, 10, I don't care, guys with a hat, a cross, and a Protect the Flock with a Glock shirt walking down there. And some of these good old boys who dropped out of church, who ain't never been on church, are going to look at us and say, what? You mean Christians are with us? I thought Christians were sissies. I thought Christians were non-confrontational. And what an opportunity to once again be a witness. No, no, listen. We defend Christ. We defend truth. That's why we're here, because we defend guns. Christian men do that. I just think, what an opportunity.
Hey, Coach, can I address the authority issue just a second?
Sure, Jack.
Okay. Authority, structure, military, we all know how that works. But when you really know your place in that chain of command, you can usurp or supersede the person above you or even three, four, five steps above you when you all know your place of authority. When I was an E3 on a United States diesel submarine, I was one of the low guys on the totem pole. But we all knew our jobs equally because we were trained extensively. And if I told the executive officer, don't touch that, he would have pulled back immediately because he knew that I knew what I was talking about. I knew that he was the executive officer and he was granted that place of authority in that respect. But if I told him, don't you touch that, he would have immediately drawn his hand back because he knew, we all knew who knew what they were talking about. And so it didn't matter whether you were the pastor or the deacon or the guy that took up the offering or the guy that swept the floor. If you knew what you were talking about, if you were had already established that you were competent, we were all on the same team.
Amen.
We all had a different role to play.
And knew that role and accepted that role and were comfortable in that role. It's so easy for me. See, it's so, that's it, Jack. You know what really is part of what we're dealing with? Is we're dealing with a lot of people who didn't have military training. They didn't have it. They didn't understand.
Crazy egos.
That's right. The breaking of the ego, the coaching experience, the military experience, where the guy said to you, I remember vividly having a conversation with Colin and his dad, because Colin wasn't getting enough playing time. And his dad and Colin came to me after practice one day. And his dad said, well, Colin, tell Coach what you think. And he starts rattling off all this stuff about, you know, when I was in middle school, I did this. And when I was in, I let him go on for about 30 seconds. And I said, listen, this problem's simple. This problem's really simple. Hey, Colin, our team's not about you. I'm sorry. It's not about you. Now, if you want to conform and play when I tell you can play and where I want you to play, brother, we love you and you're part of it. But if you came to be on this team just for you, you might as well leave now. Boom. Everything changed. See, somebody's got to be harsh enough to say that. And if we'd all just take a self-evaluation saying, why am I pushing this so hard? Coach, I'm pushing this issue because I really believe in it. Well, I believe that you do. But I'm going to tell you this. I think you're pushing this issue so hard because you want to lead something. That's what I think. You want to lead something. So now you got it. And nobody following, but you're leading. When, in fact, we have this whole team here that if it was done right and assembled right and we work together right. See, part of the thing we're dealing with, guys, is distance. How far is it from Jack to Randy? How many miles do you suppose that is from Jack to Randy, from Dale to Jack? How far is that? How do you get a team together and assemble a team together? We try to do this every morning, but see, it's hard to do without trust. It's hard to do. This is hard. And so, some of us say, well, who's he talking to? Who's got coach's ear? Anybody heard that before? You go ahead, you can raise your hand. Yeah, I've heard that. Who's got coach's ear? My wife. She got my ear. I'm trying to put a team together here, man. Ain't no that. Yeah, well. Again, okay, now listen. This is critical. This is what I'm dealing with. This is what the Cleveland Browns are dealing with. It's all this. This is what Jesus was dealing with Peter. When you put trust in somebody, or you think this guy is, there it is, there's my lieutenant, and then the next thing you know, he disappears. Pretty glad you didn't put trust in that lieutenant. Right? So the hard thing to do is to look around and see those who have died to themselves and are selflessly trying to advance the kingdom of God. That's what I'm... Now, some of you aren't going to say it, but some of you are thinking right now, well, coach, you're the worst one. You're the worst one. You hog everything. Well, boys and girls, I don't know if you know. I'm trying to find something here. It is Coach Dave Live. It isn't Coach Randy Live. It isn't Coach Dale Live. It isn't Coach Larry Live. It's Coach Dave Live, right? I'm the guy putting this together. And you can go play on another team. But you ain't going to beat Coach Dave Live on that. On that.
But coach, you walk it, you live it, you serve. See, if you didn't serve, I've been around you enough and did the events with you long enough. The first time was the first. That's all I needed. You serve. You didn't do it, just talk about it. You didn't go out there and try to be a big glamour guy. You served. And I said, I can submit here to this authority because this man walks in it.
Amen. Well, because Randy comes back. Thanks, Randy. It comes back to the same thing that I was talking about with Dr. Vieira the other day, the difference between power and authority. Power and authority. See, it's my authority that gives you power, at least in this organization we're running here. Dale Socher has a church. Dale has the authority, and he has the authority to delegate power. Right? So you can't just have power without authority. Freddie Kitchens was head of the Cleveland Browns. He could do whatever he wanted to. He had the power. But what didn't he have? He didn't have the authority. The players didn't respect him.
Amen. Amen, coach.
And so what happened?
Hey, coach.
Those are players, though. It ain't going to work that way. Yeah, Jeff.
Again, just to give you a little something here on a good note today for 2020, it kind of ties into what you're saying. I got my son to come to the car lot yesterday. I ain't seen my grandkids much at all in the last couple of years. No Thanksgiving, no Christmas. So he come in, we sit for about an hour, and we went, and I just took control of the situation. It's like, I told Mary Jean, I said, I'm not ending this year and going into the next without dealing with this problem. Amen. You got to take care of it. So we actually sit, and we went through some of my favorite spots in Robert Klaus's book. I shared with him that book, the devotional book. Talked about my grandkids and where they're at in life. And he said, Dad, I knew when you called me, I knew what this is going to be about. So he got the book. I give him one. I said, now sit down with the boys. The two twin grandsons are freshmen in high school now already. I'm like, my goodness. So I said, you share. And they're the kids are all doing their scripture and doing their Bible reading and all that stuff. I said, you share with them each night. You read with them out of this book. And then if the boys got any questions, tell them grandpa's on the same page the same day. Call grandpa if you get any questions so we can share.
Amen.
And he's actually bringing all my grandkids over today and stopping here at the house. And I said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? So we're going to start off on the right foot today.
This is critical what Jeff just said. Folks, we're living in a day and an age. I'm telling you. The Bible says, thank you, Lord. The Bible says that where lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Because the spirit of lawlessness is increased in America, is everywhere. How many of you guys right now, grown men, let's see how many, 34 of us in here, how many of you grown men right now are dealing with rebellion from your children? By rebellion, I mean pushing back against everything that you said, oh, Dad, you're crazy, oh, Dad, this, oh, Dad. And see, you know what we do? We let them get away with it. You know what? You know, I had this conversation with a couple of our kids the other day. I said, listen, I want you to understand a couple things. Number one, I'm 67 years old. I've lived longer than you. I know what I'm talking about, and I'm not here for your approval. And the Bible says that you are to honor me. Doesn't say agree with me. Doesn't say love me. It says honor me.
Amen.
So the last thing you ought to be doing is coming in here in my house telling me how wrong I am.
Amen.
You don't have the authority to do that. You got the power to do it, but you don't have the authority to do it. And too many, hey guys, listen to me. Too many of us men have allowed our children to trample on us. They're smarter. They went to college. They have a different view. Say, okay, listen, you can have that view, but you don't come in here and disrespect me in front of my wife, in front of my grandbabies, and in front of my friends. You're right to have your, guys, I'm going to tell you this, in all my life, my dad was alive. I never one time ever said the most first disrespectful thing to my father, ever, ever. I never would have thought of it. And how many of you are dealing with children who are so disrespectful to you with some of the things that they say? I'll tell you this, that's our fault. It's dad's fault. Not every opinion matters. Not every opinion matters. I put food in your belly. I paid for your education. I bought you your first car. I put your pants on your slimy butt. I wiped your butt. You show me some respect. We need that backseat. Because it's too important to go and begin to tread and kick on the values that dad had. Because dad's old fashioned. That's what the whole idea of the generation gap's all about. Boy, we're covering some stuff, but it's good. It's good. How dare you? How dare? I wish I could go back in my life. How dare you come in here and speak that way to your mother? How dare you?
Amen, Coach.
Come on.
You're hitting something this is a big issue, Coach. This authority issue is one of the main issues that will not let people go forward. It is.
It is, Randy. It is. It is. Between power and authority. Man, I hope I'm helping somebody today. I'm all over the place. I feel
Coach, can I lighten on what you're just saying about that? Because I was the same way with my dad. But my mom, I'd give her a hard time. And boy, look, when my boys would give my wife a hard time, I'd let them know we are two flesh. So when you speak that way to her, you're speaking that way to me. Now, watch this. When God places you in authority and someone rebels underneath it, they're not rebelling against you. They're rebelling against the very one who put you in authority. They're rebelling against God.
It goes to the top, doesn't it? Hey, Dale, as much as we hate it, somebody's got to be boss. As much as we hate it, man. I'm going to tell you something. Leadership by committee never works. Now, I want you to think again about the Cleveland Browns, okay? Cleveland Browns fired Freddie Kitchens. That means not only did they fire Freddie Kitchens, they fired every one of the assistant coaches. I would assume a new coach isn't going to come in and take an old coaching staff. So they fired all of them. Can you imagine those guys in their houses now? All, let's say 14 of those assistant coaches are getting fired. Can you imagine the conversations they're having with their wives about what went wrong with that team? Well, Tom was doing this and Bill was doing that and Larry was doing this. All we needed was for Freddie just to stand up and be a man. You know those conversations have been held. You know they are. Why? Because sometimes guys who have authority will not exert it. And those who sometimes exert it don't have it. It's the whole Jezebel Ahab scene.
Hang on.
Listen, I got to share this. Somebody sent me an email the other day. Said, Coach, I love your show. Do you have to yell? Folks, this ain't an act. This is just me. It's just me. I mean, if you ever get a chance to come and sit down with me and eat a piece of pizza, I don't sit there and yell at you. I don't, right? We talk. It's just the coach in me. It's just, dare I say it, it's just the anointing on me. It's the way that it comes out. I don't mean to be harsh. All right? I don't mean to be harsh. And you know what? It took me a long time to realize that some people are really turned off by that because they've been treated that way. They've been yelled at. And so it's hard. It's hard for them to receive it. And it's not directed at you. It's just me. So come on in. 5 minutes left here. It's been good. It's been good. Let's get 2020 heading in the right direction. Stop again. Let me do this. Some of you are looking at this. It says 36 of you in here. Some of you know some guys who've fallen along the wayside. Let's go get those guys back. Some of you guys pick up the phone and call those guys. Say, man, what's going on, man? We miss you. We need you. We need you, man. Lord hath need of you. Come on back. And if they say, well,
fight him to Virginia.
I'm dealing with this guy now. We're okay, good. Well, let's come together, man. We're all on this together. You don't have to play on our team. You got traded another team, but let's bring the team together. We need to do that. What did you say, Mark? I'm sorry.
Bring them to Virginia. Invite them to Virginia. Good chance to reach out and
bring them to Virginia. Right. That's right.
Hey coach.
Yeah.
You know, I got a bunch of people from South Carolina and 10 or so from the Myrtle Beach area that are members of STAB who do nothing. I mean, you know, and some of them are friends. But I haven't been able to find that motivational thing to get them interested. You know, they joined up, but they're doing nothing. And well, I've approached them and tried to do a pass the salt thing kind of thing. Let's get something started there, and no response. But I'm getting a little response on this Virginia thing, and I'm believing that if we can do the Virginia thing and they can tag along and stuff, then we can use that successful experience to create more success in other venues, other areas. Let's go for a huddle here. Let's go for
That is so it. The thing that is so powerful about what we do, because Randy said it earlier, he came once and he was hooked. He said, oh, my goodness, right? And people don't come and they don't do it because they don't know how to do it. But if they just come once, they're hooked. So I can do this. And then they can be effective right where they are. They don't have to do it with us at the same place. They got to know that there's a team that will come and be with them.
Coach, they don't know that the church can be a liquid entity. They don't realize that it can be outside the building. And a lot of these people say, I do not want to identify with that building of people. But they will go do something outside with an event and realize, and they don't understand, hey, this is really what the church is anyway.
Amen. 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 We just need to wet the whistle. So, Larry, I pray that your efforts are going to be they'll be good. The people say, I'm going to go. Because remember, I said this, maybe it was to Mark, maybe it was to Mike Keith. I don't remember who I said it to. This gun issue, man, this gun issue goes across every sphere, the gun issue does, right? And why should we as Christians not be actively in the middle of that gun issue, right? Right? Remember, the temple had guards. Jesus told him, sell your cloak and buy a sword. This idea that Christians are passive, folks, that's from the devil, man. That's from the devil. It's from the devil. And those guys that are going to be in Virginia, they're the guys that are on our side. It ain't. Thank you, Lord. Those guys in Virginia, those rednecks in Virginia, they're the ones you can count on, not your elders in your church. Sorry. Not your pastor flopping up on top of the podium there. No, that's not the guy you can count on. And so we have to be on in 2020. We have to begin to target people, go get them, train them, and be ready to mobilize them. That's another one of my great frustrations as we go into 2020. How can I better train and equip and mobilize? I was going to talk about that this morning. Never got it. Train, equip, and mobilize. Training's no good if you're not equipped. You don't have the right equipment. And if having the right equipment is not necessary, if you're not going somewhere, right? If you just want to put on your armor on and just stand in front of the TV, that ain't getting it done. You got to put the armor on to go and do some. Train, equip, and mobilize the saints for the work of the ministry. That's my goal, 2020. Appreciate all of you putting up with my rant here this morning. This is going to be a year. It's going to be one. You heard of the roaring 20s, baby? We're into some kind of 20s here. I don't know what it is, but this is going to be a year like we have never seen. And let us, as followers of Christ, not miss this opportunity to take advantage of his time of visitation that I believe is upon us. God bless you. We'll see you here tomorrow.